pray that we may be refreshed here now as we hear your word expounded. And may my thoughts and words accord with you and what you would have us know. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Please do be seated. Just as the way of the rotas this month, it's me who's preaching tonight and next week, and also, of course, on our last Sunday on the 21st. And in seeing that it was going to be me, I began to think about what would I want to speak on over these last three sermons. What should it be about? And it came to me that there are three occasions in the New Testament, or in Paul's writing, in his letters, that he talks about his ambitions to do something. The word is philotimiomai, my ambition to whatever it is. So I thought that these might be good reflections for me as we prepare to leave this place and to move on. And Paul's three ambitions in his writings are his desire to preach the gospel, particularly where Christ is not known, and that's tonight's reading there in Romans 15. He also has the ambition to please Christ. That's from 2 Corinthians 5, verse 9, and we shall look at that next week. And finally, he has the ambition to press on and I shall bring that to the church at our last service. In each case, he uses philotimiomai to speak of his ambition. And it seems to me that these are good ambitions, the best ambitions, ambitions that keep Christ at the centre of our thoughts as we seek to serve him in our Christian life. So let's take the first of those ambitions as it comes here in Romans 15 and verse 20, where he says, "It's always been my ambition to preach the gospel." Well, it's a noble ambition, because the gospel is really the only thing worth telling. We can tell people where they can get a bargain in the marketplace. We can tell them about good entertainment on the telly or the pictures. We can tell them of the dangers of life. But if we don't tell them the gospel, we're missing the point altogether. Because the gospel is good news for life. The gospel is the real bargain, the free gift. The gospel is the true source of all joy. And the gospel is the way to avoid and ultimately triumph over all the dangers of this life. So the ambition to preach the gospel is of greatest significance, of greatest importance. And in these few verses, Paul speaks of proclaiming it four times, or preaching it, or speaking about it. He says three things about this preaching ministry. And first of all, it is a priestly ministry. In verse 15 and 16, he says, The grace of God gave me to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles with the priestly ministry of proclaiming the gospel of Christ, so that the Gentiles might become an acceptable offering to God, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. The preaching of the gospel is a priestly ministry, because it's through preaching that people hear the word by which their belief in God is informed and their faith is built up. So Paul, the preacher, is able to present the people to God, to whom he preaches, to God as an offering. They, in their faith, are the tangible evidence that he has to offer to God of his ministry. They're what he's able to say is the fruit of his preaching ministry. His priestly duty is to present them well taught and well grounded and well established before God. And there are two reasons for preaching. One is that it reminds the believers of what they already know. If you look back at verse 14, he says, "I'm convinced, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, complete in the knowledge and competent to instruct one another." So there's nothing the matter with their knowledge, nothing wrong with their belief or faith or giftedness. But he goes on in verse 15, "But I've written to you quite boldly on some points, as if to remind you of them again." The ministry of preaching reminds us of what we know. It helps those truths go deeper. It establishes the way of faith as we hear again and again the important things that we believe. And a true believer won't mind hearing the important things of what we believe again from time to time, because we need reminding of those things, of how important they are. The gospel is not a once heard, always remembered thing. Once we've heard it, we need to go on hearing it so that it goes deeper into our hearts, that it works its work and makes us holy in the word. So I don't apologize for the things you've heard me say again and again, time after time, because they're things you need to be reminded of. But preaching also brings us the things that we don't know about Christ. At the other end of the passage, in verse 20, it says, "It's always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known." And in verse 21, "Those who were not told about him will see, those who've not heard will understand." Because the truth is that none of us know all there is to know about Christ Jesus. There's much we don't know. And those with the ministry of teaching can tell us those things. However much we think we know, whatever qualifications we might have, with Jesus there is always more to know. And so the sermon is the time to listen, to attend to the word of God, to seek to be reminded of what we know, and to open our ears to the new things that we don't know. But the onus is not just on those who hear the sermons. It's also on those who preach. And that's a high responsibility. Remember, it's a priestly responsibility. And such is the responsibility, or the sense of responsibility that Paul had, that he makes every effort to discharge his duties in a way that meant that no one could claim that they hadn't been told the gospel. In the book of Acts, there's a moment where Paul is travelling down from Greece by boat to Jerusalem, and they stop in at a port that's near Ephesus. So he sends to Ephesus, a church where he's previously preached, and he calls those leaders to come to him one more time so that they can hear what he has to say, just one last time. And he says to them in Acts 20, verse 26, "I declare to you today that I am innocent of any man's blood. I have not hesitated to proclaim the whole will of God to you." Because he saw the responsibility to teach everything that must be taught and to remind them of everything they needed to be reminded of, so that Paul wouldn't be held responsible for the loss of anyone before God. Now, I here have tried to preach the whole will of God. And some things in my preaching over the years have been repeated in order that we should not forget. Regular features of my preaching here have been on the importance of giving money, of praying regularly together, of being in worship, of sexual holiness and faithfulness in the setting of marriage, of faith in Jesus alone, the importance of mission, the sharing of our faith with others, of forgiving and being forgiven, of the dangers of giving up on faith and drifting away. Not all of these things have been popular. I note in the prayer book at the door there, there's a little note put in this week. Good riddance to Tim Ball. I've obviously upset somebody, so I must have been doing my job not too bad, it seems to me. Not always popular, but things important for Christian living. And if I haven't preached them, then woe to me. I must preach them. And that's not brave, as somebody said to me recently. It's what I must do for the good of all and to be innocent of the blood of anyone who's lost. My priestly duty is that I may make the offering of these people in this church to God. So that's a priestly ministry. Secondly, it's a ministry of power. Verse 17, Paul says he gloried in Christ Jesus in his service to God, because Christ had worked through him when he preached. And so he goes on in verse 18 to say, I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I've said and done, by the power of signs and miracles, and through the power of the Spirit. And when Paul spoke, extraordinary things happened. And I don't really want to get into the discussion about what kind of extraordinary things we might expect to happen. But I've just come from a place where there is expectation that the preaching of the word will have an immediate and transforming effect on the people who hear. Taking what was heard and the Spirit applying it directly to the hearts of those who hear. And where I've been, they've preached all day, from early morning to late in the evening. And at the end of each sermon, people were invited to stand and to receive the truth that they've heard. And the prayer was that from that time on, they would be different. They would be empowered to pray, or empowered to give themselves in service, or that they would be healed of their feeling of low self-esteem, or that they would be released into the ability to wholeheartedly praise the name of Jesus. This was the expectation, that it would work, and it would work now. And it was happening. And when I sit down to write the sermon, I write an aim at the top. What do I want to happen at the end of the sermon? What effect do I want to see in my hearers? Well, the aim of this sermon, at the top of this, is so to teach the ministry of preaching that my hearers may better understand the importance of preaching and give themselves more actively to listening to the gospel that is preached. That's what I want you to do next time you hear someone preach. Listen more actively. And many years ago, I had to correct a fellow preacher who said to me that people told them that her words meant something to them when she preached. And well, that was good, isn't it? The words preached meant something. But then she said, but I just think I'm waffling on and not saying anything much. And so I said, well, if you think you're just waffling on, you shouldn't be doing it. Preaching's far too important to waste words on. If you don't think you've got anything to say, don't say it, because preaching is bringing the word of God to God's people and to their hearts, and we should expect it to be heard and to make a difference. If we truly believe ourselves to be called by God to preach, then we should look for the signs following, signs of the power of God at work. So don't come to the door of the church and say to me, "Nice sermon, Vicar." Because I will ask you, what was nice about it? I will ask you what you heard. What did God say to you from it? What did you hear from God that has made an impact? How are you different this evening as a result of hearing the word that's been preached? The sermon, you see, is not a time for a sweet and a snooze. It's the time to hear God's word to you, because preaching is a ministry of power. Well, finally, Paul says that preaching is a pioneer ministry. So in verse 9, he goes on to say, from Jerusalem all the way down to Illyricum, I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ. It's always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that I would not be building on anyone else's foundation. See, once he'd preached everything and everywhere, Paul moved on to bring the gospel to the places new. In those words from Jerusalem to Illyricum, he summarizes 2 years of ministry, of traveling to the next place to preach. It's a pioneer ministry. And it seems to me now that I have preached in every place here, from the railway bridge in Arbor Lane to the traffic lights at the end of Sanford Road, and from the High Street shopping centre to the prison behind, in the school, in the sheltered housing and accommodation, in the homes of people in our parish. And now it's time for us to move on and to preach somewhere else. And of course, although the gospel has been heard, both here and in Cumbria, where we're going, something of my message hasn't been heard in the new place. And whoever comes to be vicar here will bring something new in the gospel that they bring, something not heard before, the gospel as they know it. And it's the gospel that we need to hear too, afresh and anew. And it's a gospel in my heart that the people of Cumbria need to hear also. And that's why it's important for us to move on, so that what we preach can be heard in another place, and what is preached elsewhere can be heard here also. And Paul, he wanted to go to Rome to preach to the church there as he was passing through on a journey to Spain. Well, we have also been passing through over the last years, and we have preached the gospel here as we know it. And the church here is our offering to God, as we've sought to preach all we know of the will of God. And I believe that we have seen his power at work in the lives of the people as it's been preached here. People have come to faith, which is a powerful thing in itself. They have been healed. They've been empowered in ministry. They've been sent off from this place to preach elsewhere. And it's still going on. So we've got to prepare our hearts over these next 2 weeks to part company, knowing that God, who is the Lord of all, will bring us the person that we need here, and that we shall be the people that they need there. Because preaching, you see, is a pioneer ministry. If we have made preaching our ambition, then we will be sent. It's a priestly ministry, it's a power ministry, and it's a pioneer ministry. That's my ambition with St. Paul, to preach the gospel of Christ Jesus. And so next Sunday we'll think of that second philotimiomai moment, as Paul speaks of making his ambition to please Christ. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for the preachers and all those preachers who came to us to bring us that gospel of Christ Jesus in the days when we didn't know it, that by the power of your Spirit working in us, we may hear and receive that word and live in the new life of the kingdom. And I pray, Lord, that you would forgive us for all the times when we ignored the preachers, when we went to sleep, as it were, when we didn't listen to what they were trying to tell us. Help us, Lord, to be active in our listening, to work at what you are saying through them. And Lord, help us in our lives not only to hear that word, but to take it to heart and to do it, that we might also, in our pioneer way, find ourselves able to share a word also to the glory of the name of Jesus. Amen.